these school children that something is going to happen. So road safety and infrastructure and traffic is going to be just horrendous, I'm afraid to say. Speaking to my colleague, I know he's going to speak soon, on behalf of the developer, they're talking about keeping the green boundary between Rolston Road and the development. I hope they will keep to that promise, because that's an important factor, I think, for local residents, not only on environmental but also of an aesthetic point of view as well. Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you. My second public speaker I have is Mrs. Julia Allen, please. Good afternoon. Is that possible to do?
Is it possible to do that?
We can bring it up first and then I'll put the
okay.
time on.
Is it possible for you to just... Yeah. It was the second one, the second illustrative master plan. The visual would be fine, 6 or 7, I think it was 7, the second one, I think.
Oh, sorry, one of these.
Yes, so would it be possible to point out with your cursor where the genuine barn is? It's immediately next to the retail unit, what's called the local centre. Yes, yes, it's there. Yes, yes, it's exactly there. Thank you for that. Okay. I appreciate it. Go back to it. Do I press this?
You just press that centre button, it should go red either side.
Thank you.
When you're ready. Good afternoon. I'm planning agent from JBD Building Design, and I'm representing Mrs. Louch here this afternoon, who resides at Nedjeluen Barn on Harehedge Lane at the southern tip of this proposal. So the submitted master plan shows the local centre immediately adjacent Mr. and Mrs. Louch's property, Nedjeluen Barn. It's a historic rural agricultural building which was converted for residential use, and whilst it isn't a listed property, it is considered by the local authority to be an important heritage asset. This was evident when I acted on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Louch in 2016 as a planning agent to acquire planning approval for their extension at Nedjeluen Barn. The planning consent for this was only approved after several design alterations to ensure that the original historical character of an appearance of this building, Nedjeluen Barn, was not adversely affected. East Staffordshire Local Planning Policies SP8, SP24 and the NPPF all refer to safeguarding character and appearance. So locating the local centre immediately adjacent does not safeguard the character and appearance of Nedjeluen Barn. Whilst there are no specific details provided at this stage for the construction type of or appearance of the new local retail centre, it could be assumed that it's maybe a large steel frame unit with modern cladding. Well, a building of this type, immediately adjacent Nedjeluen Barn, would not safeguard the character of this area, and it would be much more appropriate to locate a retail unit nearer a modern building, such as the primary school, for instance. So the local centre is detailed currently as 2 storeys high, and the impact of this retail unit, the size right next to Nedjeluen Barn, will be massive. It will be so significant. It will overlook their garden and have a detrimental impact upon their residential amenity. Nedjeluen Barn is largely single storey, so to locate the centre, it should be restricted to single storey. If all replaced with single storey houses, for the elderly, for instance, which you've discussed a lot this afternoon, there are houses proposed at the rear of the property, so it would probably be more appropriate to locate single-storey properties to the rear of the property. So Mr. and Mrs. Louch have got considerable concerns regarding the noise generating from delivery vehicles, arriving, unloading, etc. in the new retail unit, and they're particularly worried about social behaviour, odours, refuse, litter, etc. Nuisance and disturbance will be every day impacting the residents all year round. So the boundary of Nedjeluen Barn in this submission is incorrectly shown, and a hedgerow has been incorporated into the landscaping area between the retail unit and Nedjeluen Barn. And this green buffer needs to be increased to at least 25 metres in depth to protect the character and appearance of Nedjeluen Barn and reduce this impact, noise and disturbance. We wrote to Homes England in 2021 outlining all of these concerns, and none of these have been taken into account whatsoever, and the impact on Nedjeluen Barn has been completely overlooked. We therefore appeal to you as committee, if this application is improved this afternoon, then all the matters that I've just set out to you must be addressed specifically within the reserve method. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your comments. I have, and forgive me if I say this wrong, Raghu Sitambalam. And again, you've got 3 minutes when you're ready.
Brilliant, thank you. So thanks for allowing me the time to speak. My name's Raghu, I'm the project lead for what we call Land at Tutbury Road. The site was transferred to Homes England from Staffordshire County Council, having previously secured planning consent that was undelivered. The key differences in what we've designed in this scheme is maximising the access to open space for existing and future residents, improving connectivity using the site, and linking current and proposed key uses, all whilst ensuring that the specialist accommodation for the elderly and local centre are positioned to be deliverable and contribute positively to the wider community. We note that there is considerable concern around the traffic impact for the proposal. We are proposing additional vehicular infrastructure to provide an east-west connection with provision for a future bus route in line with County Council aspirations, along with a community car park as part of the local centre to relieve pressure at peak school times. The application has been subject to substantial dialogue with SCC and National Highways to resolve traffic-related issues and ensure highway safety is maintained. More importantly, though, is the contribution that this makes to pedestrian and cycle connectivity, providing routes away from busier roads to traverse the site, providing a pedestrian entrance to St Modwin's Primary School, links to a new play area, and a signalised crossing as part of the Rolston Road, Bitham Lane Junction improvement. Turning to drainage, the site has made allowance for attenuation basins to the north and south, which are tiered to provide additional areas of open space as weather allows. There is very limited reliance on the attenuation basins to achieve the public open space requirement, with the actual amount being 15% of the 1.2 hectares proposed. Furthermore, Homes England is investing in a sewer diversion away from gardens along Rolston Road and Bitham Lane to relieve surface water from being conveyed through existing resident gardens. Alongside this application, Homes England have also secured planning approval on behalf of St Modwin's Primary School for a lit artificial pitch which is intended for future community use. This will ensure that there is access for existing and future residents to a sports facility and complement the school's current community offering. It is for ESBC to confirm whether they wish this to be funded from money secured through this application and subject to the school demonstrating community use being available. Beyond this, the first phase of 300 homes with our delivery partner Barrett will be part of a future homes pilot where homes will be built across market and affordable to a higher environmental and operational efficiency. Research will be undertaken around performance, embodied and sequestered carbon, user experience and analysis of cost. Whilst the officer report clearly covers off the principal concerns of the application, we've spent a considerable amount of time working on and improving upon the previous master plan. From the information set out, I trust that the benefits of the scheme will bring to the area are recognised and that members can support the officer recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And I have Ward Councillor Lamb who would like to speak next. Hello, we'll get there. So you're 3 minutes when you're ready then.
Afternoon, everyone. I had hoped by raising some concerns about the application during the consultation phase they will be resolved. Sadly, that's not been the case. I'm here to ask that you defer the application until the concerns I raised are addressed. The staggered junction on Wellston Road, Bitham Lane and Harehedge Lane is a busy, dangerous junction, a layout that dates back to the 18th century. As it's dangerous, Staffordshire County Council employ 3 lollipop attendants for the school opening and closing. I viewed the junction again yesterday in the peak morning hour of 0800 to 0900. I saw at least 150 occasions when they stopped the traffic, and with over 350 people, crossings taking place, 95% children on their way to school. It's really important for safety we have a correct solution. It's disappointing that the County Council continually ignore the feedback they get on actual traffic movements. To be clear, they do not dispute any of my numbers. They appear to see no value in having a reliable model in place for the junction. I again saw yesterday morning figures far in excess of their models. 128 vehicles turning right from Wilson Road into Bitham Lane against a model figure of 20. And that's important because they're modelling their junction and that says 20, and there's 128 and 126 last week. 104 vehicles turning left in Hedge Lane, it's a model of 30. 40 vehicles turning left into Biffin Lane, it's a model of 2. If you do not have a reliable model, how can you be sure that you've mitigated the increased traffic volumes? Stratton Honing outwards and Ralston should not become experiments in ignoring traffic volumes. All I want for residents is answers to the questions. The questions I have during this consultation phase. Still no answer. While the previous roundabout application, which, if I go back to the quote from the original report last time, it said they'd looked at a signalised solution. It was going to lead to all the more subject to glare around 7 minutes per vehicle. This option was not then taken forward for further assessment. Given the above results, a double manual roundabout scheme has been developed to improve function performance. That was from the last time. So why? Now, I know I kept chasing that because I wanted to try and get it done and for safety, and I was told the only problem with it at the moment is it's too expensive and they were trying to get some more funds. So have we got a cheap solution here? So we've got another question is, what is signalled? It's not very clear to me. Are the lollipop attendants still going to remain? Are they going to be moved? How do children safely cross the road in the future? This is a serious matter, potentially life and death. No answer to how it will be enforced that vehicles from the housing development cannot exit directly onto Hare Hedge Lane. I would welcome a meeting with the County Council and Home England to resolve this. I just want a safe, workable solution. Finally, I was at an Outwards Primary School Governor meeting last night and was told that the County Council want to start a trial of restricting access to Hare Hedge Lane during the school hours, during the school start-up. Using number identification to record the people who should be able to allow to use the road. So my question is, if you're restricting access down Hare Hedge Lane, then you're going to drive all the traffic down the Spine Road, and as Tim mentioned earlier, that's going to then drive traffic through Ralston or Athelstan Way, and how are you going to get anybody into the community car park if you can't go down Hare Hedge Lane? So it seems to be that we need to get the right solutions and the right models, and come back with the right things. And I think that's the answer, is we just need to simply defer until the traffic solutions answers the questions that I'm raising. And I'm sure that will benefit not only development, but also the developer in being able to sell their houses. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb. As we've touched on highways there, I would like to let Mark discuss a few things first.
Deep joy. Thank you, Councillor. Okay. Where should we start? I think committee need to bear in mind, from a planning point of view, 2016, we collectively approved this site for housing. Roughly the same. Quantum of development. That was accepted. Obviously now, due to time, the permission has lapsed. Hence, it's back in front of us all again. In terms of the difference between the 2016 permission and the permission that is being sought today, in terms of access points, which was one thing that was raised, was the previous application just had 2 access points. This has 3. And the new one, which is Hare Hedge Lane. Now, given the size of development, 500 units, we as a highway authority would normally ask for 2 points of access. If 1 point of access gets blocked, we then say we need an emergency access. So one of the reasons for having a 3rd access point in the fresh application gives us more options should there be a problem for emergency services that something gets blocked. And it also obviously spaces the vehicle movements out from the site. So that's one reason for an additional access, is for emergency services purposes, and it does spread the traffic load out. In terms of Hare Hedge Lane itself, obviously there's been a facility being proposed, community car park. We all know, I've been there, I've seen it, we all know Hare Hedge Lane is busy, and I will use that word busy, at school times. The County Council, as an education authority, has no policy to provide off-site pick-up drop-off. you will never get them to agree to that. So this developer is providing a facility, sort of free of charge, that can double up for the community, put in morning and AM, morning and PM peak times for the school, can be used as a school pick-up drop-off for parents, which obviously isn't there at the moment. So we see that as a plus from an education point of view as well as a highway point of view, because it gives a facility that doesn't exist at the moment for parents to use. In terms of the Hare Hedge Lane, Rolleston Road, Bitham Junction, in terms of the 2016 application, a set of double mini roundabouts were proposed and were approved. That encountered design issues when that was subsequently approved. And whilst we have the application in front of us, the reason why the double minis haven't come back is there's been a shift change in national policy as well as local policy in terms of the walking environment, the cycling environment, and obviously safe routes to school. And we've heard about concerns about getting children safely to school. Now, the double mini roundabout had no crossing facility for children to get across. So it worked for cars to a degree, but it didn't work for pedestrians. So the proposed signalised junction gets round the design issues that were encountered post the previous application being granted, but gives greater flexibility to get children across the road. There will be on the northern arm a push button crossing which will stop the traffic to get children across this proposed signalised junction. That will, and we do not deny, will obviously cause traffic to stop. Do not deny that. But DFT, Department for Transport, are putting more and more emphasis on pedestrians and cyclists above motorists. The Highway Code was revised a year, 18 months ago, and the pecking order, motorists were at the bottom. Pedestrians and cyclists were first on the list. Now, obviously, this is taken into consideration in the latest application. I will freely admit to committee, I am not a traffic modeller, never will be. I'm a transport planner, I'm a qualified town planner and a member of the Royal Town Planning Institute. Just like colleagues here in terms of planning officers, internally within the County Council we seek advice from specialists. Our modellers, our signal guys, we all seek internal advice to formulate our formal reply. Now, obviously, in terms of the modelling issue, I can't specifically comment because I'm not a traffic modeller, and that is genuinely an honest answer. But what I will say is we have been briefed by our modelling team, and that has taken forward our response. We do not deny that this will have an impact on vehicle movements. It will slow things down. Undoubtedly, and we do not shy away from that fact. But we are putting pedestrians and especially school children's safety higher up the pecking order than motorists, and I make no dispensation about that. That is the trade-off in the difference in that junction than what you saw in 2016. We didn't cater for pedestrians previously, we are now. That is unfortunately the trade-off in terms of traffic flow. Now, obviously, with the new development, there is a modest assumption that most people who live on the development would walk to nearby schools. An assumption, I grant you that. But there is provision there for that to happen. If the committee were minded to refuse the application, as we saw in the first application here this afternoon, we would need genuine planning reasons or highway reasons to refuse to then put in front of an inspector. Now, again, to reach our conclusion internally and our recommendation, all the evidence that we were provided, all of the comments from our internal specialists, did not give us the reasons under the MPPF to recommend or put an objection or recommend refusal. Now, obviously, highway safety or severe are the two reasons that we as a highway authority can refuse or recommend refusal to an application. We believe we've sorted the highway safety issue in terms of that junction, specifically in terms of the double minis. That does get around that problem. In terms of severity, I've heard obviously comments that 500 houses would generate so many cars. Correct, it will. It is a matter of an opinion in terms of whether you believe this is a severe impact. Given in 2016 we didn't, when we previously approved this site. What is the difference in terms of the size and quantum? And as a final example, a couple of years ago in Bromsgrove in the West Midlands, there was a 500 outline planning application put before Bromsgrove Council. It was refused on severe, which is one of the reasons with MPPF. It went to the planning inspector and was overturned. The planning inspector did not believe that development caused a severe impact. So we as a highway authority also have to bear in mind previous planning decisions. So that is a summary. I hope it's useful. More than happy to take questions as we go along.
Thank you for that, Mark. If I just get Emily to clarify some of the points that were also raised in that discussion before I open it out to the floor.
Yes, sorry. I just wanted to point out, as per Mr. Salmon's comments, that, yes, Ralston Civic Trust in my presentation was put down as having no objection, but as per the committee report in paragraph 5.20, it's correctly reported that they did have concerns. And also, insofar as Councillor Lamb's comments that were submitted to us during the application and those recently submitted to us this week, Staffordshire County Council Highways did have those.
Thank you, Emily. Right, I'll open it up to the floor. I've got Councillor Faulkner and then Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Just for reference, I was a member of the Planning Committee in 2016 that approved this, but I did state at the time I was concerned about the traffic modelling and it would need improvement. I would like to know, first of all, what modelling statistics have been used by the modelling team that suggests we haven't got a problem. Are they 2016 figures that Councillor Lamb has produced, or are they up to date modelling figures? I would also suggest that since 2016 there have been several developments in and around that area, and it's not just these 500 that are impacting the road conditions and the conditions around those junctions. The Beacon Hotel junction is another indication of significant traffic problems at times of closing the school and opening the school. And I would suggest that 950 homes on the Beam Hill Road will create something like 1,900 cars, and the 500 on this new estate is going to create 1,000 vehicles. Now, those vehicles are going to go somewhere. It's not just going walking to school. There are parents and adults who are going to need their vehicles to go to work. No matter what the Department of Transport are saying and what they're advocating, we're finding it very difficult to get people to walk and cycle. We know at the moment we've got a cycle lane being put down Station Street, and the number of adverse comments we get on social media from our residents about the inconvenience of having it one way whilst these are being done for 6 months. We know we've got Shovnell Road being closed because the road hasn't been upgraded to actually take the number of new homes we've built on Henhurst Ridge and around. So when will the county actually acknowledge that we have a real problem with our roads and the capacity on our roads within the borough, and particularly in Burton-on-Trent? We are talking here of something like 3,000 extra vehicles since 2016, and they are going places. And I see in the report someone is commenting about the A38 junction at Clay Mills. And I've been on that junction trying to get off there, parked on the inside lane of that junction and having heavy vehicles going by me at 60 miles an hour. And I've got a solid car and it shakes. Now, some people in very small cars that haven't got the weight of my car are going to be shook all over the place. And I would suggest that we need to ensure the safety of all of our people, including school children. I don't think the answer is just in traffic lights. It's actually making sure our school children can actually access their schools, and we've got lots of schools around there. It's not just down Harehedge Lane, there's Fountain School down Bitham Lane, and there are other schools within that area, and hence the reason we've got so many more vehicles turning into Bitham Lane than what's on the traffic modelling. And I'm really concerned about this, and I would, at the moment, I am minded to accept Councillor Lamb's request that we defer this until we know what traffic modelling has been used and whether we've got an up-to-date traffic modelling plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Would you like to come back on that for me, Mark?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm just struggling to find in the documentation the actual dating of the model. However, even with my limited modelling knowledge, any developer that puts forward a plan application has to show the base of the network at that time of that plan application. Then they have to take into consideration all of the other committed, and that's the word, committed developments in that neighbourhood, some of which may not be built out of the ground yet. And that feeds into that modelling exercise. So I can give you some comfort, probably the word, that how modelling works is they will have taken on board all of the other committed housing developments, even if they're not out of the ground yet. In terms of the actual impact on the network, as I say, I am no modeller and I will not deny that. All I can say is we have been given internal advice from our modelling team. They have worked with the applicants and their team, because obviously National Highways have been party to that in terms of any impact on the Trunk Road network. So we, as the Highway Development Management Team, which is what is sitting in front of you today, have been advised by our modellers through the process they've gone through with the applicant and National Highways that they are content, happy with the proposal. I acknowledge it's a busy part of the world. There will probably never be any mitigation that will solve it, is the honest answer. There will never be a mitigation that will resolve the increase in traffic flow that we constantly see. And that is the compromise that we have here, is the way that junction's been redesigned on Rolleston and Harehedge, from the double minis to the signals, to increase pedestrian safety to a slight detriment of motorists. I can't answer you in any depth because, as I say, I'm no traffic modeller, unfortunately. But that would be my initial response, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Faulkner, would you like to come back on any of that or wait for a later discussion?
I'll wait to see what how the discussion turns out, but I've heard what our County Council colleague is saying and I understand his comments.
I'm going to go to Councillor Barker first and then to Councillor Legge.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I just wanted to vindicate the 2016 decision as well. We only really approved that on the grounds that the traffic flow was going to increase away from the site. Even talks of doing the A38 junction to get it away at the end of the day. I mean, you know, we accepted that it's gridlocked. It's a hell of a lot more gridlocked now, and it's going to be a hell of a lot more gridlocked with 500 houses on. But I understand what you said, and, you know, I think we're going to be stuck with the 2016 decision without the improvements we were going to get in 2016, and with an even worse situation. But I can see where we're struggling.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Legg first.
Thank you. Have we got any drawings or anything at how we are going to keep these people safe from cars when walking to school? It would have been nice to see some, you know, to back up what the gentleman from County Council says. But I do think, because of Councillor Lamb's work, the totals are wide apart. I think it needs to be looked at again, and I'd be in favour of deferment as well, please.
Would our officer like to speak?
I think there's just one slight misunderstanding or misapprehension in terms of what Councillor Lamb's been presenting. It's not that it's been ignored, it has been forwarded to the County Council, so they have had that information from Councillor Lamb. Like Mark, I've not got a direct communication with the modellers in the County Council, so I can't say that they've looked, you know, you can't always say that 100% that they've looked at that data, but they have been provided with that data, and that's fed through from the development management process. That's what we've done. So I just want to just try to make clear to members that Councillor Lamb's submissions during the application process have been quite properly forwarded to the Highway Authority, because they interrogate applications, and that's the process that we go through.
Thank you for that. I have got Councillor Walker and then Councillor Toon.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of things just to clarify in my own mind before I say what I want to say. The traffic lights, did you say they're just at the northern side of Brobston Road and nowhere else, or are they all four parts of the junction?
I believe it's just the northern arm.
Right, because that doesn't seem to benefit really a lot to anything, really, because there's traffic lollipop ladies on every part of there. It's a staggered junction, so for motorists pulling out, it's really difficult to see. And I lived for 2 years right opposite that junction, and believe you me, every single morning and every single night there was an accident there, sometimes more than one. And all you'd be sitting watching telly, and you'd hear a bang, and you think, God, is it a child? Go and look at the window, see if there was nobody hurt. And I don't think it has been thoroughly looked at, this traffic management. The traffic now is stacked up. They park on the pavements. Ralston Road all the way down to the big secondary school deferrers is chock-a-block. You can't get down it. It's a complete bottleneck. To add 1,000 more cars onto this is just complete and utter madness. We will just be at a standstill, and something really serious is going to happen on that junction soon. And I think before anything is passed, that really needs seriously looking at, whether it's four-way traffic lights permanently, even if they're not pedestrian ones, or something really needs looking at that junction, because it is really bad. Thank you.
Can you respond to that then, please?
Can I just clarify? They are four-way lights, but only the northern arm will have a push-button pedestrian crossing facility.
So there's on Hare Edge Lane, Bitham Lane, both sides. So there'll be traffic controlling all day long. That's what I didn't understand. I didn't catch from.
Yes, it's only, so the junction doesn't become a mini island anymore. It's a staggered junction, but it's traffic signal controlled on all segments. It will just be that the northern segment on Wollaston Road will have a push button crossing facility. So the other arms, the other aspects of the junction would still be covered by lollipop ladies, for example.
So no lights, just lollipop ladies?
No, there is traffic lights, but obviously the lollipop ladies would be secondary to the light.
Do you want to ask further?
Also, on that then, there's no pavement on that opposite side, what they'll be walking onto. Will we be putting a pavement on that side of Ralston Road? It's a grass verge, isn't it, on that side, on the edge?
I'd have to have a look at the scheme drawings, but I would have thought pedestrian facilities would have been provided in order to get people across, yes.
Okay, whilst we're just convening on that point, can I move for Councillor Toon, please?
Yeah, the first thing I want to ask is, what are we actually voting on today? Not the houses, just the through road.
It will be for the through road and the for the ghost exits.
And
for,
yeah.
And, right. I'm sorry, and an outline for the rest of the side. Yeah.
And
so the principal, so the principal development as well.
Right. Now, I forgot what your name is. The gentleman from Mark has said there's going to be something at the northern end. Is it going to be above Athelstan Way? Because Athelstan Way will be dreadful to cross with all this. I mean, it's bad enough for all the children from Ralston. You see hundreds of them walking up the road. They do walk. And they've got to cross Athelstan Way. Now, I can see, like Mr. Salmon can see, that people will use Athelstan Way to avoid all these traffic lights, the children. I mean, I don't go out at school time because I've spent 20 minutes getting from Athelstan Way to the end of Ralston Road because of the traffic. And you can do that both morning and afternoon because they start coming to office two in the park all the way up to Athelstan Way to pick up their children. So, you know, you say that children and pedestrians are your main concern, so you've got to make sure that at Athelstan Way there is something to get the children across it. Otherwise you're going to have children dead.
Okay. So, no plans at the moment at that part, but something you can consider. Right, if I can bring in Naomi.
Reminders, you hear us say this all the time. It's not for applicants to fix existing problems. You know, the applicant's role is to mitigate its own impact. So that's what we need to focus on today, not existing problems that, you know, can't be fixed by this development.
Okay, do I have any further members? Councillor Whittaker.
Just one, it might not be part of this, but you mentioned the developers are offering a school drop-off. We're just conscious of how that was going to work. It's not an in and out, it's just into a car park, turning and out again, is it? That sounds a bit chaotic in my view. But,
yeah, we haven't got details of, you know, exactly where it's going to be, the design of it. You know, how it will relate to the local centre. We haven't got all those details. It's just the principle of, you know, providing a community car park.
Yeah, but that could become a highways issue because you've got, same as that, people going and dropping off and trying to get out again, people going back in the car park. So it's probably something you need to address when you're doing the...
I mean, having it co-located with the centre would have some benefits because people make dual trips. So, you know, they might stay longer there than if they're just dropping someone off.
Can I add something to that? So condition 32 relates to the community car park. So we've asked for details of maintenance and management to be provided to us before the occupation of the 50th dwelling on the overall development.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Faulkner, then Councillor Walker, then Councillor McKinnon.
Thank you, Chair. One of the things that did concern me was a statement made by the one of the residents who was objecting to this from the school governors last night in terms of restricted entrance to those lanes. I would like to understand whether that's fact or fiction. In terms of the modelling, I understand you're not a modeller, traffic modeller, none of us are, but I think in terms of transparency and openness, we need to understand what modelling has been used and maybe have someone from your modelling team here to actually explain to us how they've modelled it and the reasons why they've actually decided on what is the best solution, because I think we need to understand what that is. We are going to be making a decision that's going to impact a lot of young people's lives, and a lot of motorists are going to be using that road, and we need to understand what's being modelled and how they come to those decisions to make sure that we are prepared to make that decision. I said this way back in 2016, I was unhappy actually giving my approval to that when I recognised that there was danger within the proposals, and that danger is really ringing alarm bells in my mind as to what we should be doing, particularly as we've only got a pedestrian signal on one side of the road on the Rolston Road junction, and the others are going to be controlled by lollipop ladies. We've got a service area for drop-off. Now, I live very close to Branston Locks development with the John Taylor School there, and that's got a big drop-off area, and people are not using it because it takes them too long to get out again once they've dropped the person off, because that island is absolutely clogged. And I sat at my island, that mini island, trying to get out onto the road to go to the A38, and I've sat there for 20 minutes just because people come herring down from the A38, and they're within 20 yards of that little mini island, and they're doing 30 miles an hour. If I went out onto the island, which is my right, because you're only supposed to give way to someone on an island who's already on the island, not someone who's approaching it. If I went out there, I'd get absolutely smashed into next week. So I think we really do need to look at what we are saying, what we're doing, and what we're committing to here to make sure we are making the right decision for the right reason.
Take your points on board. We'll continue the discussion, if that's okay. I've got Councillor Walker and then Councillor McKinnon next, please.
Yeah, two things, really. Chair, thank you. If the community centre does go ahead with the drop-off points, is there going to be a zebra crossing put in there? Or is that going to... Because the children still got to cross that busy Hare Edge Lane with cars all parked up on the pavement on it. So it's a bit of a blind spot, really. Or is it going to be lollipop ladies or, again, traffic lights? What, do you know if there's anything, Mark, you can enlighten us with on that? Thank you. And then I've got one more question.
As far as I'm aware, there's no specific infrastructure. There's existing, obviously, drop curbs there at the moment, so they would probably be covered by lollipop ladies. There's no specific infrastructure.
Your second question?
The second one is the flooding, really, changed from traffic a bit to... it's a notorious flood area. When it rains, Bitham Lane is almost across with floods from the drains, but also it comes off the fields. And where I live, we got flooded every time. Almost it rained even in the summer. It used to come right up to the doorstep and over. So I think they're going to have to look properly at the flood... implications in the SUDs for the development.
Emily?
Yes, so with regards to drainage and flooding, we've got a number of conditions 24, 25, 26 and 43. So those require compliance with the flood risk assessment, and then there's conditions that require details of surface water drainage to be submitted to us, and disposal of foul water flows, etc. So those, all that information would be shared with the lead local flood authority to make sure that, you know, they're happy with those in respect of drainage.
I'll go to Councillor McKinnon next, please.
Thank you. It's been a problem at least the last 10 years with the traffic going down Hare Hedge Lane, ever since I was a county councillor in 2013. And I thought we had come to an agreement in 2016 that we would have the two mini roundabouts and we would have 50 community car park spaces. So my concern now is this community centre. I'm agreeing with previous people that it's in the wrong place. We need the community car park for the school. We need that desperately. And for, I think it's still the largest school in Staffordshire with over 2,000 pupils. You know, 30 car park spaces is nowhere near enough. We need a minimum of 50. But the idea then that you combine it with a little shopping centre that encourages people to stay there and shop, when it's supposed to be for the estate, it's supposed to be a local centre for the estate. To me, it's in completely the wrong place. To me, they're putting it there because they want to attract the passers-by that are coming and dropping their children off. They're attracting the teachers at lunchtime. They're attracting the kids. And it doesn't matter that you don't have hot food. You can still have sandwich shops. You can still have sweet shops. You can have sixth formers, the older ones, wanting to go there to hang out. To me, it's in completely the wrong place, and I would ask that you separate the community parking from the centre with the shops. I can't see on that outline plan where you would put it, but I would put it maybe somewhere in the middle of the estate so it actually benefits the people in the estate, or up Tutbury Road somewhere where there aren't any shops.
Would any of our officers like to come back on exactly what we are allowing here in this proposal bit and what would have to come forward for our reserves?
It was just a comment really on that last comment that Councillor McKinnon made about putting it in the middle of the estate. I think based on the discussion we've had, you know, there's people around here that probably say actually people wouldn't use it there. They want to park as close to the drop-off to the school as possible. Yeah, I mean, we've only got an indicative layout at the moment. That's all that's before you.
Okay, any further comments? I'd love to bring you in, Councillor Lambert. Unfortunately, not at this time. Councillor Toon.
This fine road that leads from Tutbury to Rolston, it's almost straight. In fact, it looks virtually straight. Are we putting any traffic calming on there? Because it will, like Mr. Salmon says, it'll be a rat race. People will know that they can't get down Air Edge Lane, so they'll go straight through there off Tutbury Road to Rolston Road and down Atherton Way.
Yes, one of the conditions does relate to traffic calming measures. Can't find it. 42. Yeah. Yes, sorry. So, no development shall commence until detailed drawings, including gradients and traffic calming measures, and a timetable stroke programme of works have been submitted to and approved in writing by the local planning authority.
So, that will have to come to us before it is discharged. That will go to the planning officers for them to make sure.
Yes, that would
detailed plan will come back to us, won't it, for the houses and everything else?
Yes, the reserve.
It's got to come back to committee, hasn't it? Okay.
Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Can I look at sort of a compromise plan for the day, basically? We're being asked to approve the Spine Road and the other road that comes out onto Harehedge Lane and the outline development for the 500 houses. Now, as the CPRE said, you know, really, they'd like to object, but it's a fait accompli because they've already approved the 500 houses, albeit that we approved it thinking there was going to be some traffic improvements further down the line, but it's already there, so we've got to look at this in the round, haven't we? If we were to approve today the outline for the 500 and the Spine Road and the other road, can we not then, when it comes to the next round with the houses, can we not ask the County Council to come back then with the definitive modelling plans and everything else to look at it then or not? Can we? No. Once we've approved the roads, we've approved the roads and that's it.
If I can just come back on that, now is your opportunity. Once it has outline planning permission, the only thing that will be brought forward to you in the future will be the design of the houses.
I'm trying to help.
I think what we are looking at here is the fact that we do go out to our consultees. We do expect them to come forward with their expert opinion, and we have to have faith that they have done their job correctly. We have heard from our Highways representative here who says that they put that out and they listen to their modelling people and they have no objections based on the conditions they put forwards. I think we've got to come to a decision whether we agree with that and we go with what they've put forward, or whether we try and do something that's going against necessarily what they have already said. I know it's not helping us as a thing, but that's where we've sort of got ourselves to. Bon Alan.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify, just because you're hearing the debate, because obviously you mentioned granting outline planning permission for the houses. It's not just houses, of course. I mean, the development, yeah. Just so that obviously members of the public and et cetera, I just want people to understand that its outline approval would be for the residential, the local centre, the community car park, and the accommodation for the elderly people.
Yes, but that wouldn't say where the community centre was going to be. It's just an outline for it somewhere within that development. So we could have the argument that we've had about it being in the wrong place later on.
You could do, or what you would need to do though, because there's a phasing plan which shows in the generality of where the locations are, what you would say is that you would change that condition so that you were basically leaving it a much more open aspect in terms of where the local centre is going and where the elderly person's housing is going, etc. So you've got a phasing plan that shows housing phases 1 and 2, and you've also got a local centre and the community car park, which are shown both off Harehedge Lane, and then you've got the elder accommodation as the intention would be off Tutbury Road. If members taking on board all the different concerns that then don't necessarily agree that those are the specific locations they want them to be, then you would change that condition that it would be all basically a little bit up for grabs at the outlines at the reserve matters stage, but you were approving the principle of them being accommodated on the site. So I mean obviously the developer has a particular master plan and their intentions, so ultimately at the end of the day they've applied for those and they wish them to have them in those locations because that's their master plan. If members don't agree with that, that condition can be changed. They may wish to, they may not like that, and they may wish to appeal against that condition. So, you've got to look at it how you feel in terms of that debate. That if you find it acceptable in principle that these uses will be accommodated on the site, but you're not necessarily happy with the location, then that would be a change to that condition, and you would have to do that as part of any voting process.
Has that brought us any further forward? Okay. So, Councillor Walker, and then.
Sorry, I was just going to ask. I know I'm quite new to planning compared to the rest of you, but do we not defer this? Because I feel really uncomfortable about no proper plan for the traffic management and, the, you know, looking at the numbers again and things like that and bringing it back, because it scares me, to be honest, the amount of traffic on that road and what we've got potentially coming. And I'd just like to have another look and to have another traffic survey and perhaps a different proposal, another look at that junction and see if there's anything else that can be done. Yeah. So that a risk assessment really has been looked at, and we are going to provide safety for cars, you know, pedestrians, cyclists and everybody really concerned.
So what we see in front of us is what we make our decision on. I would love to say we'll defer it and put other bits in, but like any application, it has been a long time before it actually physically gets to us, and we don't know as a committee what had been discussed and debated prior to it coming to us here. All those things might have already taken place, and we have got the sort of the fruition of those discussions. Again, we're going down to, do we have faith in our experts in terms of what they're telling us before us as a committee? Because if you're saying that we're rejecting almost on that grounds, we haven't got the full information that we need, that's something that we need to discuss as a committee. Obviously, I'm going to get guidance first before you all leap at it. I'm going to get guidance as to what is suggested from our solicitors, obviously our planning officers as well. Okay. Alan, would you just like to declare what we've just spoken?
Okay. If I could pick that up. I mean, obviously it's reasonable for members to defer any determination based on if they want further clarification on information. I think what you've got to be mindful of is that you cover all the issues that you're concerned about. So if there are other... the problem with deferrals is it gets into the realms of unreasonableness. If you defer it for one reason, then when it comes back and you're happy with that the developers then put to expense or otherwise as a consequence. So, I mean, it's been made clear that members wish to have further clarification on the modelling and exercise. And obviously, Mark would take that back and see if there is people who can come to committee. Obviously, they're not in house, so therefore we're reliant on external people coming into the meeting. If there are other issues that members are concerned about, the community car parking, the numbers, the location, and obviously there's been discussion about local centre, then obviously that's important to flag those up. There will potentially be long-term implications that they might need a revised plan and that might need revised consultations. But, you know, it's for you to debate any concerns you have that may also refer, you know, you want deferral on based on other than just the traffic. Now's your chance, exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Councillor Barker first and then I will come round.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I think one of the concerns that we've got, apart from that, is the location and the size, the location of the community centre, and how handy it would be for kids from school to nip out there when they shouldn't be doing, etc., etc. The size of the car park that goes with it, but it can't be too far away from the school, otherwise it won't function as a drop-off point. I mean, you're not going to get both, Councillor McKeon. I'm sorry, you're not going to get a car park there and a community centre further up because it's a waste of space. Yeah, you know, you've got to be practical. You've got to look at the developer's point of view as well. You can't expect to have a fantastic-sized car park and then another car park for your community centre. You've got to be a bit... But there must be a compromise in between. Let's look at that, is what I'm saying.
Years ago, there was no talk of a shopping centre. Yeah. I want them separating out. I want the 50 car park spaces, like we were promised several years ago.
Okay, Councillor McKinnon, just bear with. Let's come in on that. Is that working?
Yeah, I just want to highlight that the application for you is different to the one that we had in the past. You know, now we have got a local centre that wasn't in the previous application, so it's just to bear that in mind. And, you know, when we've consulted Highways, they haven't requested a car park of 50 spaces in Highways terms. It's not justified. But we, you know, so, yeah, it's just to bear that in mind.
Just talking about compromise, you know, I either vote against it or we have some compromise here and we go back to the plans. That's the way I look at it. I'm quite happy to pass the housing part of it. I've got no issue with the housing and having a shopping centre and having elderly care, and all of that is fine. It's just the traffic plans and the community centre being, the community car park being in the same space as the shops near the schools.
So just bear with. Alan?
I think what you've got to look at, and you've got to be in terms of members and thinking about the development, is that the community car park is, you've got to think about it in terms of the relationship with the development. It's not for the developer to cure all the problems of the school car parking. If it was a school car park, it would have to be provided by the school. So you've got to be mindful of the benefits that a community car park will come forward. The condition specifically requires it at this particular point in time to be used as a community car park and a management scheme. When the reserve matters comes forward for the local centre, they will have to justify the car parking for how much can be shared, how much would have to be additional in terms of that local centre. But you've got to bear in mind that it's not the developer's role to provide a community car park for the school traffic. It's a benefit as a part of providing the community car park. It will be useful for school parking, potentially, at the times when the school's out. And at the end of the day, you've got to think about the use of the community car park. Are you going to use it? You know, people wouldn't use it in... You would use it at the times when it was available. You would know that school times there's going to be pressure on it as a school. But you know, as Mark said, the community car park is seen as a benefit and as part of the whole over package of road safety issues. So it's not an entity in itself providing a school car park, a community car park. Its reason for being on the development is related to highway safety or related to the development. You can only ever require things as it relates to the development itself.
Thank you, Alan. Councillor McKinnon, come back on that quickly.
All I'm trying to get to is what we had before. I don't see the benefit of coming forward with another plan.
All we can say is that plan has lapsed, and we have this new application in front. And as we know, we deal with the application that is in front of us. And whilst I know that you would love to have what was previously, we're on to this new application in front of us, and we deal with what is in front of us. We have said that we're looking at bringing it back in terms of deferring it for looking at the community centre and the parking. Perhaps that's something that can come to us at that stage. I think trying to say we need it to do this because that was on the other one, they're on the same place. I think it's a little bit unreasonable for this application here when we have to focus on that, unfortunately.
I think the wider point I was going to make was I understand Homes England have to make a profit and therefore they have to get so many houses on, but Homes England is actually a government entity, so it doesn't have to make as much profit as a purely business entity would. So in that, I'm seeing it in that relationship as similar to the county council when the county council owned it. I think it's a step on. I do agree they've got to make some compromises, but I think in the scheme of things they can afford, with all the space they've got, to allow us a bigger community car park.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to Councillor Whisker next.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to solve all the problems. It's nothing to do with the building or anything. It's just going to be compounding about this. But if, say, you go ahead with everything now and the community car park's there, what's to stop them sort of turning around in 12 months' time and saying, look, this isn't working, we're going to put barriers up, we're going to stop with children's time or anything like that, and we lose that as a part of the school? So there's nothing in place for that. Is that just... And it's very good of the developer to offer that, and I understand that, but I just wonder whether there's any security in getting that long term.
Officers had the same concerns during the application process, so we do have an appropriately worded condition for the management, long term management of the car park.
So, Councillor Faulkner.
Can I suggest that we defer for two reasons? One is the traffic modelling, and the other is for the developer to come back with a plan for the two phases which incorporate the local centre and community car park. And don't be too prescriptive in what they do, but ask them to outline how they're going to handle it, recognising we're not happy with what they have suggested at this moment in time. And is there a compromise that they can actually offer?
Yeah, I think we'd agree from this side, and certainly the officers have just said that seems quite a reasonable request. Can I have a seconder for that then, please? Oh, hold on. Okay, Councillor Legge.
Thank you. And can I also add to that the barn, and maybe put the more mature people's properties near the barn? Thank you.
Can we say that we'll look at the location of all of those prime sites within there and have that as part of the reason we want to defer? Would that be acceptable? Okay. So, again, I will ask for a seconder to that. I'm going to go Councillor Toon. All those in favour of a deferment based on those two points that we've raised? Well, if you allocate Councillor Legge's points in terms of looking at the location of all of that, so it will be... The community centre car park will be within the remit of where things are placed, I guess, is what we're asking. And then the first point is about the modelling, that we'd like some more information on that.
Oh, sorry, can I just correct? There's been a few references throughout the committee to a community centre. It's not a community centre, it's a local centre.
Sorry.
I just wanted to clarify that.
A community
sort
of asset, yep, in terms of location of shops, sorry. Community car park and local centre, getting my words wrong on the screen. Are we happy with that then, committee? Okay. So all those in favour then, again, just for the show? Yeah, unanimous. So we will defer that application and... Okay, committee, are we ready for our last one then? Okay. So we'll move on to the last of our applications. It's Glenn getting back in his seat. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, last one then, over to you, Alan.
Okay then. Right. So, we're on to Hazel Wharf Farm, Timber Lane, New Toxeter. Last visit on the site today and last report now. Right. So, I'll try and keep it relatively brief. Right. Okay. So, the application as it comes forward, most members now will be familiar with the fact that planning permission was granted for 429 dwellings at the site, which is we all visited today and it's under construction. So, this is just the site and its wider locality. So, in terms of the Hazel Wharf site, it's in purple. We're dealing with two elements of the site today, which is A and B. It just basically shows you clearly that the site's located within both the settlement boundary, in particular these two sites, and within the established part of the Hazel Wharf development. So there's no extension of boundaries, etc. And I'm sure if there was, you'd know about it, and the gallery would be fuller. Okay, so... my simple arithmetic gives us four areas on the western part, which are A, B, C and D. We're dealing with A and B today. On the right-hand side of this slide is the other part of the Hazel Wharf scheme, which we didn't visit today, but that's now been built out. Okay, so there was a little bit of a question about ecology. Right, so in terms of how this A and B sit within the wider ecology element of the site, the actual bird boxes, owl boxes, badger relocation and new sets have all been put in place, and none of those are actually on these areas A and B. In the actual scheme of things, there's also going to be five swift bricks boxes put within this scheme as well.
Bricks or boxes?
I think it's bricks and boxes. Boxes. Only five, yeah. Right. You need to see it in the wider context of the site. So everything's in place actually. So that's in the wider context. So and just to finish on the ecology aspect, two things. The county ecologist did review the scheme and was happy that it didn't cause any problems. And in terms of the trees, it's heavy standards and standards upwards. Okay. So again, this was the slide was just for the benefit of members, just to. It showed the two together just to, you know, kind of hammer home that it's replacement in the existing areas. We looked at these sites from the bus and gave it obviously a greater understanding of the topography. So this is Area A. This is where we sat when we joined me with my head hard hat and stuff, looking to get the part. This is a view towards the southern boundary, again looking over Area A. Again, this is now looking back towards the built-in that's going on already from Area A, down the hill, and then towards the southern boundary. And then moving on to Area B, where the compound currently sits, and then that actually joins the houses existing to the north. And again, that's looking over where the suds area is going to be, and then towards the development. And then that's looking back towards Area C that's been built out. And again. Okay, so again, another slide just shows where we sit. Just going to run through a couple of street scenes rather than introducing all house types, because basically we saw most of them today anyway. So these are where the cross sections are. It just shows how Area A is a bit more, you know, in terms of the topography, they're having to cut into the site. So that's at the edge. So we kept just to say that we do bother with these things. That on these are the top sides, actually the houses on the edge of the site. So at the highest point in the development, we've put the lowest houses. And again, this is just running through a couple of the street scenes in terms of the cut-throughs and how you go down the hill towards Area C. Area B, just in terms of street scenes, are just more of the same, obviously, in house types, a much flatter site, element of the site, so you're getting more of a run of housing. So it's a mix of two-storey, two-and-a-half-storey, three-storey buildings. In terms of the actual consultees, no objections from anybody in terms of statutory undertakers. The other consultations that are highlighted in purple, just the ones in terms of the Section 106 monies, and I'll come to that in a second. There were concerns raised by the Town Council in terms of the increased density, just to factor that in. I mean, it's only gone up from about 18.5 to about 19. And still lower than the part of the site that's been built out, and you're way below what, you know, what government densities of 30 per hectare were 10-15 years ago, and then concerns about just all the different elements that the consultees have commented on. There's 12 objections from local residents, and there was no comments from the ward member. Again, the concerns were about the principle of it increasing impact on traffic and residential amenities. So the site's already established for residential development. It's an increase in amount, but it's within the established site. In terms of design, it's more of the same. Probably some members may have. It's pretty anodyne, isn't it? I mean, you know, in hindsight, we would look at maybe, more chimneys, etc. It's in keeping with the locality. There's no adverse impact on residential amenities given the separation distances, both in terms of the new houses and the proposed houses. And in terms of highways, there's no objection in terms of capacity of the surrounding roads, which has got the new junction, as we all saw. And nothing in terms of impacts on the public right of way. The historic environment was the stones near the junction, so again no greater impact over and above. Ran through a little bit this morning with the drainage aspects of flood and with members, but just for the record, we spent a long time on with the lead flood authority on this site, discharging the conditions for the original 429 houses, and as part of that process they've been dealing with both flooding downstream and making sure the capacities are correct on site. We've got to that position. It was about 2 days before I prepared we prepared this committee report. I won't say I did, Emily did, and in terms of that now deals with everything on site. You've got on site suds, and there's also inbuilt mitigation for some exceedance downstream as well, because you've now got holding on the site as well as. In terms of biodiversity, as per the slide earlier, everything's in place as part of the wider scheme. Open space has actually increased slightly to go with the increase in numbers. And in terms of the climate change, energy efficiency, the inbuilt as developers do now. So I would rather than running through all the individual figures, just to give an oversight, in terms of Section 106 agreement, the additional 21 houses have been built into the original Section 106 agreement, so pro rata, it's all gone up in terms of, and we've also made sure, so you've still got 15% of affordable housing on site, and then you've also got the additional monies for the highway. Well, the highways is already part of the monitoring plan. There's the Cannock Chase mitigation that's now come in, and then there's the education and health are all pro rata for the increased number of dwellings. Okay, so in the round, the application's up for approval. There's one slight change to the conditions, which is condition 12, which is on the update sheet. That's in terms of agreeing the surfacing details of the driveways, because that will come forward and it will be taken into consideration during when the County Council are looking at adoption of roads and drainage on that as well. So that just gives a little bit of flexibility in that process. So that's the officer recommendation, approval subject to the slight change to condition 12 on the update sheet.
Thank you, Alan. As you can see, we have no public speakers for this part, thankfully. And so we will go on to, as it's so late in the day, our floor then. So I'm going to go to Councillor Barker and Councillor Faulkner, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just to clarify, Alan, the porous parking areas, you know, that was what we proposed, presumably, or you proposed, and they've sort of kicked back on that and said you haven't done it anywhere else, so you can't force it on us now. Is that, you know, is that my interpretation of it? Is that accurate?
That'd be a fair interpretation.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think we made mistakes first time round. We shouldn't replicate them now we've got a chance to put them right. So if we think the porous parking's right, then we fight for it.
I think the thing is that with that flexibility is still built in there. We're not saying that it won't be porous car parking, but you've got to have good reason for it to be porous car parking, yeah. And that's part of the drainage. Well, the drainage calculations have been done with tarmac, yeah. So it's not actually required as part of the drainage. So so it's back down to the justification of putting specifics on car parking spaces that don't form part of a drainage solution. So, you know, we're rocking a hard place. I understand exactly what you're saying, but we've got to justify the condition. At this moment in time, that's why it's open to, shall we say, agreement in due course.
Yes, I mean, we agreed the tarmac, but the extra 21 is putting an extra pressure on that drainage, and the porous parking might assist it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we're obliged, aren't we, as a planning committee, as a council, to make best use of what land we're putting towards building on. And by putting extra 21 houses in, then we've done that, haven't we? So I don't see why we should be pushed into doing anything else they want us to do.
I mean, obviously, it's for members to vote on whether they change the condition or not. You've got to bear in mind that there is the approval for the number of houses that's already there, and it's the additional 21. I mean, are we saying that we want 21 driveways with porous parking areas? I mean, we are between a rock and a hard place with this stuff.
Thank you,
Anne.
I've got Councillor Faulkner next.
Thank you. Totally different subject. Section 106, affordable homes off-site provision. Is that designated for New Toxteth area, or does it relate to the whole borough?
Generally, when we word Section 106s, we don't usually define a particular location. It will just be the borough. It might have a bit of a hierarchy in there. We haven't got the draft of this one, have we? But generally not, because it might be difficult to spend it in the future. Unless projects are identified.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the new project that will come forward at some stage in terms of the Maltings development, and I know that there's likely to be some affordable homes there that may not be fully costed, etc., within the development, and I'm just wondering whether that can be made sure that we designate it towards Utoxeter development or not. But
I mean, there are other Section 106s in Utoxeter in existence where we've already had the money, so they might be suitable as well.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Whittaker.
I was obviously another one who was there at the planning meeting. The most contentious part was actually the where everybody wanted a roundabout and they put the traffic lights. So I always got that one right. Absolutely, it's worked brilliantly. So well done on that one. The only issue, I know when it was passed, one of my big things was the density of it and the fact they got these animal corridors through. That's not changed. The actual sort of corridors through the site are the same as they were on the original plan.
Yes, they haven't changed yet. We were thinking of how's the best way to describe it, but it's just basically like taking two jigsaw pieces out and then putting two different jigsaw pieces in the same holes. I mean, but it's got to be the same. It's got to be this exactly the same fitting jigsaw. But no, it literally those corridors, which is when I put that slide up to show that the green corridors are all as was. That's right. And in fact, there is an additional green corridor on that southern boundary because we've set the houses back. So there's actually, instead of them, I think I mentioned this morning, is that rather than being built right up to the edge of the site, there is actually now an increased corridor there as well with a bit of screen planting. So
on that, when you go down, it looks really sort of on dense as you get to the site. And then obviously it gets denser, but that initial view is really good. So.
Okay. Do we have any further comments that we want to make at this time before I look for a motion? Councillor Legge.
Thank you. Could I ask, in the list of things and needs, have we next to the build?
Well, I'm kind of really disappointed that you've gone on so long that the guy who was here to do, who's a planning agent, is not here to hear this. He's left his bag. Okay. Anyway, so, I mean, again, we're a little bit tired because it's part of, you know, let's say the ecology thing was agreed and the county ecologists. I mean, we do say this is a SOP, and I accept this. But I mean, as you rightly said as well, that the hedgehog holes weren't part of the fencing, and I think it's something that we can write to them about and put as an informative on the decision notice. So anything I miss? We've done the rest, haven't we? Swift bricks, bee bricks. We've already got swift bricks. We want some bee bricks, and we want some hedgehog holes. Yeah. Well, they don't like semis.
You mentioned informative. Do we need to put an informative onto this?
Yes, so I was going to suggest that if you want to second and lead and second, we can put an informative to that.
I'll second your informative for it. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to put down that Councillor Legge has put forward for an informative to have the bee bricks, and Councillor Barker has said he will second that. Okay, so all those in favour of adding that informative? Okay, that is carried, that will be put forward. Any further discussion before I ask for a motion on this? Happy? Shh. Okay, so I will put forward, since nobody else has put in their hand, I will put forward that this goes forward for approval with the conditions as set out in the report. And in the, it'll come to me in a minute, update sheets and the informative that we have just added. So can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Toon. All those in favour, please. Okay. So that has been granted. So that's for approval. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on to the agenda as we have. So, appeals received and determined. Can I have those noted, please? And delegated planning permissions? Noted. Okay, we now move into the private part. And I would like to move that in according to when I can find my script. In accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Right, we'll take a moment just to get our one member of the public out.